Charlie, we had a really good idea for the Season Watch Pod this week.
We sure did.
I don't know. I'm sometimes cooped up in an office. We're talking like right after I've been on the morning show, so I was up a little too early. It's the end of a long week. You told me to get outside.
I sure did. I gave you an assignment. Relatively bold of me. How was it?
It was smart, and I'm thinking we should do this all the time, but I'm going to tell you to get outside too, but take a listen to what I heard, okay?
Very nice. I also went outside and recorded a little audio so we can hear the difference between Grand Rapids and Scandia.
Was that water?
It's pretty quiet out there.
Yeah. Was it water in the background for yours?
No, it's just me noise, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
You're listening to the Season Watch Pod. It is the week of August
21st. I think it's today.
Yeah, this is a production of KEXE. Thanks for tuning in today. We are getting towards the end of summer. Things are changing a bit, but we still have summer.
Yeah, we sure do. That's Heidi Holton. I'm Charlie Mitchell.
That's right. So was that bugs that we heard in both of ours?
Yes, we got bugs. Okay. That we do. Now, I was frantically Googling before we started to see if there's an easy way to tell the difference between grasshoppers, katydids, cicadas, and crickets. They're all little noisemakers out there. And in my panicked Google search, I did not find anything conclusive. But I do think it's really interesting that we have all of these noise-making insects around us. I think the cicadas are kind of the more constant background noise. And in your recording, you could hear, like, specifically one individual. And I'm pretty sure that was a cricket. But it is definitely, you know, that sound of late August. We didn't hear any birds in either of our recordings, which is also in August, maybe. But in May or June, it would have been all birds. You could barely hear the insects. So,
well,
interesting how sound changes.
Yeah, I'm intrigued by the word katydid. It's my new favorite word.
Okay, great.
Put it into my Google search here, and it's also called a bush cricket.
Ooh, I haven't heard that one.
Yeah.
They're the big green cricket guys.
The big googly eyes, it looks like, and or long-horned grasshoppers.
They definitely have a grasshopper-like shape, but bright green, pretty big. For some reason, I don't know how they find their way into my parents' house every every fall, but they do, and they're loud.
Yes. I did hear one chickadee when I was out by the Mississippi River here, but it didn't make a sound for very long. And at home, we've still got blue jays wailing. We've got a young eagle hanging out by us, so that's fun. And it's kind of screaming and making a lot of noise there. I think does that mean the parents left it or something? You know, is this the time of year where they take off on them?
I don't think they would take off just yet.
Okay.
Because they tend, one of the reasons that they, you know, they're sitting on their eggs when there's still snow falling. Those pictures of a bald eagle curled up on its nest, covered in snow, keeping its eggs warm. Part of the reason that they nest so early is because they need such a long summer season to get that fledgling, you know, beefed up and ready for the world and migration and such. So I don't think the adults would have taken off yet, but I could be wrong. That's one I would need to look up to feel sure.
It's one of those sounds that feels like they're doing it for some reason. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not just, this is my call.
Do you see the adults around anymore? Or do you know if this is like a first year juvenile or whether it might be, you know, 3 or 4 years old.
I got to do my research. I don't get out on the deck as much. The mister does. So I will ask him the questions. How's that?
Does it have any white feathers or is it all brown?
It has white feathers.
Okay. Then it's probably still not getting fed by its parents anymore.
Okay.
It's probably some kind of like juvenile, but independent juvenile.
Okay. Okay.
So it might be yelling for territory reasons. I don't know.
It was
the reasons why bald eagles yell are a mystery to me, but they sure like doing it.
I was so pleased because it was so much closer to me than I realized. It was one of those, I didn't see it sitting there, and it was in a tree pretty close to me, and all of a sudden, whoa, you know, and then the call, and it's just, it's thrilling because mostly you are quite a ways away from them and you do not realize how big they are.
Yes. Yep. And anytime you get a chance to be close to one of those birds, it's just remarkable. And the talons on them.
Yeah. We still have
the color of their eyes.
A lot of hummingbirds and they are... Mm-hmm. Going nuts on each other. So we're getting a lot of lot of that buzzing, humming sound. They're just, they're just going nuts. I mean, I don't understand what's
females
going on.
Females and males?
You know, I don't understand how you find that out since they go pretty fast.
They do go pretty fast.
I know it's, if there's any red, it's a male. Is that what, that's what John
the
told me?
The throat patch. If it's a red throat patch, it's a male.
They won't stop when I ask them, so I don't know.
Fair enough.
We're still putting it out, though, the
yep.
water sugar business for them. So,
And because they're getting to migration season here, you can change the ratio of sugar to water. Most of the year, it's 4 parts water to 1 part sugar. And during migration, you can change it to 3 parts water to 1 part sugar.
All right.
Give them a little extra bump as they head south.
Duly noted, 3 to 1. I'm walking in the door today saying 3 to 1, so...
All right.
There we go. What kind of things are you seeing where you are? Is there any pops or peaks of different colors or anything that's reminding you that fall is coming pretty quick?
Yeah, things are starting to change. One of the big things I've noticed this week is that the sugar maples are dropping seeds. So our driveway is littered with the little helicopter samaras. And I think, you know, since we're further south than you are, we probably have a much larger proportion of sugar maples to, you guys probably are more red maple forest, but the red maples, the silver maples all drop their seeds in the spring and sugar maples. And then there's a little bush maple called the mountain maple, hold on to their seeds through the fall. So I'm seeing a lot of those. The spreading dogbane is starting to change color, sarsaparilla. And then as I'm driving, I'm noticing just a few of the sumacs are starting to change. And those ones just turn that brilliant red color. Some pops of color out there are definitely turning the corner here. Also, I saw a school bus. Got stopped by a school bus. So there's some human phenology for you.
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh, and the yellow jackets. You know those ones that nest in the ground? And if you accidentally walk near a nest, it's terrifying. Yellow jackets are definitely out and more hostile than they've been all summer.
Charlie, what do you know about, do you know much about wasps?
Depends on the question.
Okay. So we put something new on our deck that is, it's like a little table that hooks over the deck railing so that we could, because we have a real narrow deck that just fits a chair and someone walking past it. And we all kind of line up in a row. So we wanted a little table. Well, there are some little holes where the screws went. And I spent an afternoon watching wasps go in these tiny holes and then come out with something that looked like a piece of a tree or it was probably sawdust, maybe. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But they kept going in and out and in and out. And what Tom thinks is happening is there's going to be babies in there or something. I don't.
That sounds accurate. I mean, to me, that sounds like what I would think of as a solitary bee building its little, tucking its little eggs into a spot and then, packing it in with leaves but I know some of them do chewed up, but this is a wasp.
And it's not much bigger than this tip of my pen, the hole. Uh-huh. I mean, it's very small. It's
very small.
Yeah. So it was just, mm-hmm. it reminded me of watching the wood duck go in the wood duck house. Like, it's surprising yeah. how, you know, this bird can like get small and get in there. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that means we should plug up the holes. I don't know what.
Uh-huh. Interesting. Does this wasp look like one of the ones that like stings you? Like a yellow jacket or a
yeah.
Yeah. paper wasp or one of those ones?
It looks like a yellow jacket, I think.
Okay, so not one that you necessarily want hanging around.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have mm-hmm. a huge problem with that. I mean, you know, uh-huh. who loves them? Who wants to be stung? But it's...
Imagine right? a reason it would be going in there. There's no food.
Yeah.
The only reason I can see for it going in there is to either lay eggs or to parasitize other eggs that are in there already. If it's not bothering you, I would say leave it alone, because wasps are good pollinators, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
If it is bothering you, I would just plug up the hole.
It's new, so I don't think there's time that there was something in there. I mean, it honestly okay. looked like it was residue from wood, yeah. from the it's cedar.
Oh, so it might be chewing up something in there and bringing it out. So yeah. if it's a paper wasp, it oh. could be harvesting wood to go to chew it up into like a little pulp. And then go build it. I'm intrigued.
But I figured that you would not plug up the hole. You would want
Hey, to- if it's one of those yellow jackets or a paper wasp or one of those stingy ones and it's on my porch, I'm plugging up the hole.
Okay. I just looked up paper wasp. I think it does look like that. So that might make some okay. sense that they're taking something out of there, not that they're building uh-huh. something in there. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah. And you said it's leaving the hole with stuff in its little mandibles, not going into it with something in its mandible.
I saw it go in and out and then fly uh-huh. away. And I don't know that I saw it fly away when it finally flew away. So I don't know uh-huh. if it was in its mouth then, but it kept coming in and out. I don't know how to explain yeah. that. But anyway, I know I've talked far too much.
If it's a paper wasp, that's kind of what paper wasps do. Okay. They chew up stuff and make paper.
I didn't expect to be talking about that, but sometimes that's what happens. It's like this beautiful thing that you think you're going to read a book or watch the lake mm-hmm. or something, and all of a sudden you're watching...
a little wasp. Yeah. And you get curious, which is what we love to do.
Yeah. You know, I like to, of course, when I'm on here with you, talk about books, right? Because a lot of times mm-hmm. something that you said reminded me of a book I read. Like a lot of times it's been a kid's book or something like that. Mm-hmm. This is in my brain because I was with some friends this week and one friend is moving and brought a big stack of books to wants to downsize. Mm-hmm. One of them in there was this memoir that when it came out, this has got to be 15 years ago, if not more. I did an interview mm-hmm. on it, but it's a book I think about a lot. It's called The Sound mm-hmm. of a Wild Snail Eating. Have you heard of this?
I have not heard of this, but I have heard the sound.
So it's the story of this author, Elizabeth Tova Bailey. She's bedridden, and she finds this solace in this snail living in a potted plant right on her nightstand. And that's her world has gotten so shrunken that that's the drama for her in her life is listening to the sound of a wild snail eating. You're going to have to look that one up, okay?
Great book. I will have to look that one up.
Yeah, I remember hearing about it and thinking, what? How could that be interesting?
Because I've had the opposite experience with a wild snail eating where I was camping. And there was a snail walking. I woke up in the morning and there was a snail making a little slime trail across my sandals.
Mm-hmm.
And I like put it on the picnic table and I fed it one of the pieces of my dog's kibble just to like watch it eat and watch it move around. And yeah, it has to be really quiet for you to be able to hear the sound of a snail.
Yeah.
But yeah, that definitely the opposite experience of watching a snail outside while camping versus, your world being so
well
restricted like that.
I, you know, this is what happens when I miss a week of Season Watch. I'm overwhelming everything. We've got a lot of audio to listen to this week, don't we?
We do. And our first one this week is from visitors to Sugar Lake Lodge who got to go explore with John Latimer.
Hi, I'm Ryan Kuhn from New Hampton, Iowa, and my favorite part was catching a little bass from the creek on hole 18, and it was interesting how many frogs we've seen and all the popping flowers.
My name is Lillian, and my town is Cannon Falls, and my favorite part was how much frogs we've seen.
My name is Nolan, and I'm from Fargo. My favorite part was catching a jewel wing.
Hi, my name is Ethan. I live in Minneapolis, in Minnesota. My favorite part was catching frogs.
Okay, I'm Abby Kuhn. I'm from New Hampton, Iowa. We learned a lot about flowers, the popping flowers. I thought those were really cool. I didn't know there was popping flowers like that. I didn't know anything about that. And the helicopters, the poopers, the ploppers. Hitchhikers. Yeah, there's a lot of different of those. And all the different redwoods. And like the plants, but they don't actually like completely fall apart if you try and split them in half, which I thought was really cool. And then all the different frogs. There's a lot of different frogs we caught, and we saw a bunch of different butterflies too. It was all really fun.
I love it when kids give things with absolutely no context. So when you heard poopers, ploppers, hitchhikers, and helicopters, what were you thinking?
I didn't know. I just knew that they were hanging out with John Latimer.
Yep. Yep. So because I have also been out with John Latimer, I'm pretty sure I know what they're talking about. These are methods that plants use to disperse their seeds. So they're ones that you eat and then poop out. Those are the poopers. The ploppers are the ones that just fall off the tree and land on the ground. The helicopters are the ones like on maple trees where they fly. They use wind to disperse. And so you could think about like a little cottony aspen seed also as a helicopter. And then the hitchhikers are the burrs, the ones that latch onto animal fur and get dispersed that way. But pooper, plopper, hitchhiker, and helicopter I chuckled so much when I heard that in the recording.
Okay, you need something with that on it. You're
right. I did title the talkbacks for this week with that.
No, I'm talking
so good.
A shirt.
Oh, a shirt.
A pillow, an autobiography. Mm-hmm. I don't care. Your first album.
Autobiography.
Something.
So that's what you think of my life. Not saying it's not accurate.
Right.
I'm not quite sure what they were referencing when they talked about the redwoods. Unless John really took them on a trip.
No, I don't think so. Yeah.
But the plants that split in half without splitting, I think they're talking about dogwood leaves. Because John has this thing where he separates a dogwood leaf pretty gently. And then there are just these little strings that hold the leaf kind of together that you can barely see. So it looks like a magic trick. Or the bottom half of the leaf is just hanging off.
It's one of his party tricks, along with the, is it the spotted touch me not?
Yes, which I think the popping flowers,
yes.
Which I really enjoyed.
Yeah.
Man, the flowers are popping. In this case, I think they are exploding. The jewel weed have those seeds that just like, if you touch the seed pod, it's just held under tension and explodes, sends the seeds out flying. Flowers are popping. What a great report. And catching frogs and a bass. And one of the students caught a jewel wing damselfly, which is out of season, but exciting. They're the gorgeous, like really big ones with the dark, dark wings and are just shiny and blue. Very well named jewel wings.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We also this week had a message that I also loved. You can hear, like you and I did, popping outside. This was recorded outside to tell us what Sarah is up to.
Howdy, this is Sarah coming to y'all from Northeast Minnesota. I just wanted to share, as I'm doing some of my scouting work, that red pine this year seems to be having a bit of a bumper crop. There are way more cones than I have seen in several years, and we do need them. The DNR is offering $95 per bushel for folks who go out and collect red cones and sell them to the state. there are other organizations that you can either donate or sell cones to, of course. But yeah, I'm looking at some right now. They're bright green, not fully developed yet. They will turn more of a purpley brown color when they're ready. I just want folks to be aware of that, looking up at trees, seeing the cones as they are developing. It's great. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you. Yeah, the DNR will buy a number of different tree seeds, whether it's pine cones from red pines, or I think they collect maple seeds as well. Look online and find the different ones that they will pay you for bringing to them. But man, if you could train a red squirrel to go up there and harvest, you could make bank. Those things, yeah, red squirrels are...
Are they trainable?
I mean, it's something that they do naturally. Okay. They go up there and chew them off. And I think John Latimer always talks about the pine cones hitting the top of his garage because he's got a metal roof.
Yeah.
So it's just bam. I remember a couple summers ago, I was trying to take a nap in my hammock, and there was a squirrel at the top of one of the trees I was hanging from dropping pine cones. And so I was just getting bombarded by falling pine cones. So it's something that they do naturally, but I would feel bad. You know, they're working so hard up there and they do need the food for winter. I don't want to go around and just pick up all the ones that they're dropping without feeding that squirrel then through winter. They're very efficient at it.
And could be a little side gig for you. A lot of work, but...
Oh, no, I'd have to befriend a red squirrel.
Aw.
I'd have to cuddle with it. It would probably destroy my house, but still.
Yeah.
They're so fluffy.
Well, we also, of course, we had John Latimer's phenology report this week, and you can get that. Hopefully, you already listened to it through the podcast or at kexe.org, but we wanted to hear a little part of it during Season Watch.
There are those little ants that build the little volcanic-like cones, the little sandy cones that you see on the ground along the edge of your driveway, or if you're like me and you have a dirt driveway, they're right in the middle of the driveway, wherever. These little ants, they belong to the genus Lasius. Those little sugar ants, those tiny, tiny little red ants, they're going to enlarge the hole in their anthill, and a lot, I was going to say a million, but that's an exaggeration, a lot of male and queen ants, winged ants, are going to come out of those anthills in the next couple of weeks. These ants are sometimes called Labor Day ants because this is the time of year when their elites, their male and female designated queens and males, are going to emerge from those anthills. And I can recall one time when I was walking in the woods, I came across this stump that had like an inch thick pile of these winged ants, and I plunged my hand into it, and I might as well have been the tree because they paid absolutely no attention to my hand. They crawled over it and then they used it as structure, but they didn't bite. They didn't do anything. It was just something to climb on for these ants, Labor Day ants, and they're going to be coming out. So watch for flying ants. The interesting thing about their life is that the females, those queens, those winged queens that come out, if they're lucky, they're going to find a male. And if the male is lucky, he will find a queen and get to breed with her. And then she will immediately break her wings off. And the muscles that she developed to enable her to fly will be converted into energy to excavate her anthill. And she will start her anthill immediately this fall, and hopefully she will be successful. The males, on the other hand, whether they breed or not, they are not going to be allowed back into the anthill that they came from, and essentially they will become bird food. So watch for those flying ants and think about them and what's going on in their lives. And finally, another sign of fall that's about to happen and should be happening very soon is that the coat of the deer is going to change from summer red to fall and winter gray. So they're going to start growing their winter hair, and they will become much less red and much more gray. And the bucks are at that point now where they're going to be starting to rub the velvet off of their antlers. So watch for small brush. If you see small brush, stuff that's as thick as your thumb, and it's kind of rubbed on, that's probably a deer trying to clear the velvet off of his antlers. If it's larger, if it's as thick as your forearm, it's probably a deer who's polished his antlers and is now practicing the art of battle, pushing against something that resists him. So all of that coming up with the deer. So that sort of takes you up to date on the signs of fall.
I'm thinking about the deer trying to rub the velvet off their antlers. I imagine it's got to be really itchy, the velvet.
Right.
And it just makes me appreciate having opposable thumbs and hands.
You don't have to rub up against trees. Although, you know, when you can't reach your back, I mean, tree's pretty helpful.
That's true. There's that scene in The Jungle Book where Baloo is like rubbing his back against a tree because he's all itchy. And it always looked so satisfying. I don't know why that made me think of that.
Because that's what happens.
But talk about immersing yourself in nature. John Latimer sees a pile of ants inches thick. And what does he do? He immediately sticks his hand in it.
Oh, my gosh. It's kind of what we're talking about. I'm asking about me watching Wasp. And we're talking about the snail, you know, chewing, the sound of a snail eating. And then sticking your hand in a pile of ants because you want to know what's going on.
Exactly. Not the strangest thing John Latimer does with ants.
No.
One of his favorite party tricks with elementary schoolers is to eat ants because ants have formic acid, which is like the stuff that stings when they bite you. Formic acid is closely related to citric acid, and so it tastes a little lemony. But formic acid, fun fact, formic is also the Latin name for ant. So it's literally an ant acid.
Oh, and that helps
acid
your
from ants.
That helps your stomach when it's upset, your ant acid?
I don't it is actually an acid. It isn't an anti-acid.
Oh, okay.
But you would think so.
Well, yeah. Maybe a lemon. Mm-hmm. It just seems semi-logical that a lemon could help settle your stomach a little bit.
Yeah.
Who knows?
But it is always very funny to watch elementary school kids react to John Latimer eating ants.
Yeah.
Because some of them are just like, ah! And then some of them immediately start trying to catch an ant so they can eat it. Yep.
It's always a
range
lot
of fun. Human nature.
Yeah. We're gearing up, Charlie, you're gearing up for another school year ahead. So if you're a teacher and you've been listening to Season Watch Pod and you're thinking of trying your hand at phenology this year, we are here to help.
I am so excited. Yes. I just got in touch with a teacher from Heartland Lakes. So I'm hoping, yeah, it's going to be a great year.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait.
You can find lots more information at kxc.org. Leave a voice memo for us, just like Sarah did earlier. You can go to speakpipe.com/KAXE and send us a voice memo of what you're seeing or record something just the way that Charlie and I did.
Please do. We'd love to hear from you.
Thanks to everybody who contributed this week.
Yeah, we have Sarah contributing that voice memo, various visitors to Sugar Lake Lodge, and then, of course, Heidi and I recorded our little audio clips from outdoors.
We'll chat next week, Charlie. Thanks.
I can't wait. Thanks.
Support for Season Watch Podcast comes from the Sugar Lake Lodge near Grand Rapids, a Northwoods setting on the shores of Sugar Lake, offering lodge rooms, cabins, and golf villas with on-site dining, a golf course, and access to the lake, trails, and seasonal outdoor recreation throughout the year. Plan your stay at sugarlakelodge.com.